Today on Real Radio.
If the cross bothers you, look away. Just like when I drive by a mosque, I do not say, "We need to tear down this mosque." I look away and pray, "Lord, you deal with the people in that mosque. You love them. Save them."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series of sorts called One Church Under God, and it's taken from the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Today we're focusing on the second half of the chapter, where Paul explains how man's so-called wisdom is actually foolishness if it does not include the cross. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing his mini-series called One Church Under God.
The Bible tells us Jesus went to the cross. It was foreordained by his Father that he would go to the cross. But the cross is hated today. Why? Because you can't look at the cross without thinking somebody died there. And then inevitably the kid in the back seat says, "Mommy, what's the cross on the hill for?" And then she gets all upset because now she's got to tell Junior either a lie or the truth. And if she lies, she says, "Well, there's a hospital there." "Well, it doesn't look like it, Mommy. It's stuck on the side of the hill." Now she's got to cope with it. "Well, you know, some people say Jesus died there." And God has put it in a kid to say, Mommy, who's Jesus?" Do you see how it snowballs? You can't get away from him. You're not supposed to get away from him, you funny little cookie man, or what is that? Who's the guy, the real cookie man thing? Who? The gingerbread man. Did you see Pac-Man? Dude, that's... that's good. Not Pac-Man, the gingerbread man. Don't run. Don't run. You can't avoid the cross. Jesus said it in John 12:32. He says, "And if I'm lifted up," that's a first century term of crucifixion, "if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." This Jesus spoke, signifying by what manner of death he should die. "I'm going to the cross," Jesus said. "And if I go to the cross, the whole world will have to consider me." Is that not fulfilled today, church? Also, look at verse 21. A united church will have the same message this way. Our message is preached. It's to be preached. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." That's worldly wisdom. They took their wisdom. They didn't apply it to the things of God. "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Let's be honest. It is bizarre. Church, we are in the 21st century. And what am I doing and what are you and I called to do? Preach the gospel. Watch this. Young people, listen up. We think, "Yeah, but it's 21st century, man. This is a whole new age." Hey, guess what? Unless I get killed, I have some pretty awesome job security. Here's the reason why. And by the way, if I do get killed, I have the best retirement program ever. Check this out. According to the Bible, since the beginning of time until the end of days, preaching the truth of God will never go out of style. Did you know that? Well, what about YouTube? What do you do on YouTube? You preach. Radio will take care of that. What's on radio? That which has been preached, right? Well, you know what? What? The Bible says even in the last days, God's going to send an angel flying through the midst of the atmosphere. That, during the tribulation period, will freak people out. Can you imagine? "Man, it's hot." I'm talking trib. I'm not talking today. I know it's been hot, Christians, but you know what? I tell you, what was that one day? It's like 104. I stuck my face out in the sun. Thank you, God. This is as hot as it gets for Christians. You think of that for a second. And all the things that are going on in this world, there's going to be a time in the tribulation period when the Bible says God will send an angel through the atmosphere. It's not space. Atmosphere, it's where you and I live. Can you imagine an angel? What's he look like? I don't know. But they all, angels look awesome when they're seen in the Bible. People freak when they see one. There's an angel that's going to be going through the sky during the tribulation period, preaching the everlasting gospel. And then the Bible says, at that, the end of the world will come. Wow. So, we are to preach. You say, well, Pastor, you know, how do I preach? You tell. It means to proclaim, announce. That's all it means. We're all preachers as Christians. We're to tell our friends. And so he says in verse 21 that it's the foolishness of the message preached. It's interesting. Preaching's not foolish. It's the message I'm preaching that's foolish to those who are perishing. But it's not to those who believe. Salvation happens and can only happen when the message is preached, and that message is the cross, and it brings salvation. Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Change your mind about Jesus. All right. Our message is the cross. Listen up, everybody. Some of you need to hear this. You either need to hear it for yourself or you need to hear it for a friend of yours. The message preached is the cross. It's the gospel of Christ. And so having said that, you want to know why I'm not a Hindu today? You want to know why I cannot be a Muslim today? You want to know why I can't be Buddhist today? You want to know why I can't be involved in a cult? I say this to their chagrin and mine. They don't have a cross. I want you to think about that for a second. They don't have a message. They don't have atonement for sin. Will you listen? For our comfort, we want to just glaze over the spiritual condition of thousands of people who are lost. We want to say, well, they believe in the same God. They believe in Jesus. As long as we're sincere. You know, have you realized we're saying that for our own comfort and not theirs? Do you know we say that so we don't have to deal with the issue? And the issue really is getting them to know the truth too. Oh, say, Pastor, I don't think we should run it down their throat. Hey, I'll be in the first in line to agree with you on that one. But we are to serve it up and let them throw it away or take it in. This is a united church to present the truth so that others may decide. That's what we're supposed to do. The outcome is not for us. We get in such of a hurry in our lives about closing the deal. Did you close the deal? Did you close the deal? So you witnessed to your friend, did you? Did you pray the sinner's prayer with them? Listen, we're not deal closers. We are to present the truth. And if they say, get out of my life, then get out of their life. Pray for them. They can't do a thing about you praying for them. Because you go home alone and pray for them. But do your friends know the truth? I cannot be a Muslim. Islam has no cross. There's no atonement. Every Muslim must weigh out in the end their own works against the capricious will of Allah. And even then, until they walk the blade, they don't know if they'll ever enter their heaven, sadly, which doesn't exist for them. They've been deceived. And you and I know Muslim people. Have we told them the truth? They have no cross. Ask them, what do you do about your sins? What do you do about your sins today? What do you do about the power of sin in your life? What's your strength over sin? They have nothing. They're lost. And on their way to hell. And Buddhist and Hindu, what do they have? My friend, the cross is an offense because there's only one cross. And I like what C.S. Lewis says. He said, I have to tell you that what opened my eyes to Christianity is the queerness of it. He lived in a different age. He said, it's just queer enough. It's so mysterious. It's so unique that no man could have thought it up. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Why do all the cults of the world have this in common? We will work our way to utopia. We will be good enough. We will become what? The same doctrine of Adolf Hitler? The same doctrine of Stalin or Marx? The same doctrine of socialism or the same doctrine of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden? We will make it happen. We don't need God. We will become gods. Where there's no cross, you have to invest in human effort. It's the ultimate deception. But where there is a cross, where there's a cross, there's the absolute freedom. Jack, what do you do about your fear? I go to the cross. What do you do about your past? To the cross. What are you going to give people? What are you going to tell your children when they grow up? It's the cross. What do you do if your wife and your husband are having a hard time and you're not able to make amends? What do? You both get on your face and you go to the cross. It's the only hope. There's power at the cross. Try it. You say, I don't believe you, Pastor. I don't care if you believe me or not. I told you earlier, I get paid the same. Go to the cross. Amen. Ask if he's real. Lord, are you at this cross? The God of the cross, we are to preach it. And I've thought about this. There's no place for atonement in the cults. There's no greater for the lesser. There's no just for the unjust. There's no holy for the unholy. If you're unholy, if you're unjust, if you are somewhat less than perfect and you need atonement, where do you go? And see, this is the big issue. You can either be deluded by your self-performance or you can be humbled. And when you're humbled, you say, God, I'm aware of my self-performance and it stinks. And I need you, O Lord Jesus. I wrote something down. I'm just going to read it to you. America, since you've decided to remove prayer and Bible from school, from your public schools, how's your institutions of learning going for you? America, since you've decided to remove the Ten Commandments from your courtrooms, how's your justice system working for you? America, since you've decided to remove judgment and discernment and replace them with political correctness, how's your culture working for you? America, since you've decided to remove God, in God we trust, from our almighty dollar, at least they're working on removing it, how's that mighty dollar working for you? In America, since you've decided to remove the cross from public view, even off of private property, how's that working for you? Well, we got to take that cross down. Why? Driving down the freeway, it bothers me. You talk about America being tolerant. America has never been more intolerant. If the cross bothers you, look away. Just like when I drive by a mosque, I do not say, we need to tear down this mosque. I look away and pray, Lord, you deal with the people in that mosque. You love them. Save them. But when you have no God, you are extremely thin-skinned. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully above all things wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. One church under God is a united church, and it will keep the same focus. Verse 22, look at this. Jesus Christ was crucified. Verse 22, for Jews request a sign, a miracle. Show me something. It's actually pretty amazing. It's always been this way, church. It's the part of the way they're brought up. It's the way that they think, and it's the way that they're going to think. Watch this. Jews, Paul is a Jew. He's saying, us Jews, we want to see a miracle. Well, the Greeks don't care about a miracle. They want to have wisdom. Speak to me. We still, you say, Jack, I don't know, you know what? Oh, yeah, you do know. Cicero and others, the great Greek philosophers, are still famous today, you guys. Socrates. The Greeks, give me some wisdom. The Jews say, forget the wisdom, show us a miracle. It's true. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, look unto Jesus, focus on him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured or went to the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ was crucified. Show us a miracle. The cross and Christ crucified. How about wisdom? How can you get wisdom out of the cross? Ah, the wisdom of God is at the cross. You're not leaning on any wisdom of man, are you? Grandpa, I can say this now because I are one. Grandpa, you want to give your kids wisdom? You have incredible power. Sit your grandkids down on your lap and open up the Bible and tell them. Coming out of your mouth, Grandma, Grandpa, coming out of your mouth, it's almost as close to God saying it himself. I'm starting to see things different now. You know how kids naturally reject mom and dad's wisdom after a while? But have you noticed that kids, during that time, they'll gravitate to grandpa and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, and want to talk to them. They might even say things like, you know what? I'm going to grandma's house. Hey, any of you spirit-filled, godly old people, we need you. What am I talking about? That's me. Moving on. Verses 23 to 24, Jesus Christ is sufficient. The Jews, look what he says. He says, to the Jews, the cross in Jesus is a stumbling block. You guys, this is so true. It was true then, it's true now. A stumbling block. You mentioned Jesus, you better put your helmet on. Go to Jerusalem today and mention Jesus. You better have a mouthpiece in and a helmet on. They'll take you out. I got chased down by a rabbi. I wish we erased the tape. And I'm talking about Jesus being crucified up on the hill. And I'm in the Kidron Valley pointing to Moriah. I'm pointing to the hill. And we're like this. And this guy came after me. And we should have kept it. It could have been on YouTube. It would have had a million hits. Oh my gosh. It was awesome. All because I mentioned Jesus. And I hear from the distance, you can't say that name here. Go away. Go back to where you came from. Get out of my country. And this guy, it was this cloud of dust, and he's running toward me. And he's got this all the black on and the prayer robe. He's coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh. A stumbling block. Paul says, but you know what? To the Greeks, he's foolishness. But to those who are called, how do you know? If you're going to heaven right now this morning, if you're a Jew or a Greek, well, to those who are called, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. The word is very cool. It's written difficult in English. It simply means this, Christ. It's a great proclamation. Christ is the very power of God and the very wisdom of God revealed to mankind. That's what it means. Jesus is all sufficient for us. Verse 25, Jesus Christ continues to be the issue. Look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Don't you love it? The foolishness of God. If God's going to joke around, it's whatever God kids around about is wiser than any Einstein ever. Wiser than any Solomon ever. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. You guys, a couple of days ago, there was a lightning bolt not far from here that came down to the ground. Did you know that? Boom! In fact, it was in the front page of one of the papers. Somebody caught it on film. Boom! I was down at Orange County getting ready. We're doing a program, and Lisa calls me up. There's lightning and there's thunder! And immediately, my mind went to Job. God says to Job, and he's playing with Job, the weakness and the foolishness of God. God says to Job, hey, Job, you think you're so smart? Tell me how I cut a path through the air so the lightning bolt can go through it. God said that. You ever think of that? Doesn't it look all jagged and silly and crazy? God says, I know the path that it should take. That means if you get hit by it, not a good thing. Wow. Wow. A united church will rejoice in the same hope. In the same hope. And that hope is Jesus. Look at verse 26. All who are willing are welcome. This is our message to the world. All who are willing to come to Jesus and embrace the cross are welcome. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not... Take out your pen. Not many, circle the word M, M in many. Not many wise according to the flesh are called. Not many mighty. Not many noble. The word is blue blood, royalty. Are you a descendant of the king? are called, verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and the chosen, he has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. I had you circle the word M in many. All who are willing can come to Jesus right now. And I had you circle the word M because you know what? The Queen of England. In fact, this has been repeated by other famous people. If you Google this, you'll find other people. Lady Huntington, for example, said this. The Queen of England was asked once regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. It's in your lap. It's our point right now. It's what we wrap up with. Someone asked the Queen of England, hey, what do you think about that verse? Quote, is there hope for you, Queen, seeing what the scripture teaches? That not many wise according to the flesh, she was wise. Not many mighty, she was the ruler of the world. Not many blue bloods are called. Do you know what her answer was? I have it right in front of me. Her answer was insightful and accurate. Her answer was, the scripture teaches, she's going to give a Bible study now, the queen. The scriptures teach or teaches not many. It does not say not any. I, dear sir, have been saved by an M. She's a blue blood. And the Bible does not say any blue bloods can get saved. It says not many get saved. Why? Because the temptation to lean upon their own royalty is strong. Not very many mighty people get saved. Why? Because the tendency for them is to lean upon their might. And not many of the wise get saved because they're too impressed with themselves. Not any, but it means it's harder for them. But you're welcome to come to him. All who cannot save themselves, look at verses 28 and 29, can be saved. My mom thought in the Bible someplace there's a verse that says God helps those who help themselves. The Bible says the opposite. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And let me tell you may pride yourself on being a man of achievement. That's fantastic, and we're grateful, and you are commended, and we're happy for all the taxes you pay for your success. It's great. But listen, it doesn't translate into the presence of God. He saves those who cannot save themselves. The base things of the world, the despised things of the world, that's what he rescues. And then finally, it's right here. All who are his, this is profound, mark it down, verses 30 to 31, all who are his. But of him, that is the Father, by the way, you are in Christ Jesus, that's the Son, by the way, who became for us, one, wisdom from God, two, righteousness. Okay, wait, how do I get wisdom? Ask God. How do I get righteous? Ask God. Sanctification? Ask God. Redemption? Ask God. My friend, you're not going to find this in the Quran or the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It's not there. As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called One Church Under God. It's a close look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. One Church Under God, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.